Welcome to Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, a show for providing self-improvement information that has a positive effect, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Dr. Alan Simberg.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. If you want more information about the Tough Talk Radio Network, visit our website at www.toughtalkradionetwork.com, where you will see the wide variety of shows that are offered by the network. If you're not able to listen to any of the live shows, they are archived and available the day of the live broadcast. If you're interested in being a guest on my show or any of the other shows, go to the top of the Tough Talk Radio Network page and click on the hosted shows link. Then click on the link to the show that you want to be a guest and click on the register to be a guest link. If you're thinking about having your own show, there's information on the website about that as well. Be a guest blogger with me by contacting me by email, and the address is alan@alansimberg.com. Again, that email address to contact me if you want to be a guest blogger with me is alan@alansimberg.com. If you want to call or text me during the week, my phone number is 281-785-0660. Again, that number to call or text is 281-785-0660. I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have for me or even just read any comments you may have. If you want to call into the show with a question or a brief comment, the number to call is 347-989-1363 and press option 1 to connect with the producer. Again, that number to call with a question or brief comment during the live show is 347-989-1363 and press option 1 to connect with the producer. If you want to just listen by phone, call that number and don't press option 1. You can also message me on Facebook at alan.simberg, at Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can tweet me at alansimberg, at alansimberg. I want to let you know that this segment of the show is being sponsored by Standard Process. Standard Process is a company that has an organic vegetable farm in Wisconsin. Quite simply, what that means is they grow organic vegetables and they use their vegetables to make their supplements. They make what is referred to as whole food supplements. You might be wondering, what is the difference between whole food supplements and regular supplements, what I would call synthetic supplements that you might buy either in a pharmacy or in a regular health food store? The non-whole food supplements are comprised primarily of chemicals. It's synthetic sources of the nutrients. Whole food supplements have, as the name states, whole foods, portions of whole foods. So it's not going to be like eating a bowl of vegetables, but you're certainly going to be getting a nice concentrated amount of nutrients from those supplements. Now, we need to talk about what the advantage is to taking whole food supplements versus synthetic supplements. Basically, the difference is whole food supplements have all the factors, known and unknown, that help your body to maintain its health and to get into its best state of health possible. Synthetic vitamins do have some nutritional value. However, if you do not eat a lot of nutritious foods, eventually what will happen is those synthetic supplements will drain your body of the nutrients that's needed, and you could end up developing problems that you're actually looking to avoid by taking those supplements. If you have any questions that you would like to ask me or have any comments about anything related to Standard Process and whole food supplements or even health in general, Feel free to either call me at 281-785-0660, and you can call me during the week, or you can text me at that number. Or if you have any comments or questions during the show today, feel free to call at 347-989-1363 and press option 1 to connect with the producer. One of the things that I want to talk to you about before introducing my first guest today is I want to talk about the differences, the essential differences between anxiety and depression and what the treatments are. Now, 2 weeks ago, I spoke about depression, talked about the signs and symptoms of depression, and last week, I spoke about anxiety. I think it's really important to understand that one of the differences between the medical model and what I call either the complementary or holistic model is that the medical model talks about the absence of health from the perspective of disease. The nutritional or alternative model talks about the absence of health more from the perspective of balance. And specifically, it's the degree or extent to which your body is either in or out of balance. Now, the reason I mention this distinction is because it also applies, from my point of view, to the idea of mental health. When we're talking about things like depression, anxiety, we are not talking about a person either being depressed or not being depressed. We're not talking about a person either being anxious or not being anxious. What we're talking about is the degree to which you experience those symptoms. So it's the symptoms of depression and or anxiety. And most importantly, the degree to which the presence of those symptoms affect your everyday functioning. When I work with people who come to see me in my private practice, I am not primarily or only concerned with whether they fit the diagnosis criteria of what mental health professionals use to diagnose, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. I listen to the symptoms that they are experiencing and the degree to which those symptoms are affecting their everyday functioning. One of the things that I think is helpful to recognize is that depression is related to anger, and a common definition of depression is anger turned inward, which basically means anger turned against oneself. And depression tends to be related more to the past than the present or the future. Now, I said more. I did not say exclusively. Anxiety, on the other hand, tends to be related more to the future, and it is closely connected to worry. So the degree to which you have anger about the past, you turn that anger against yourself, is the degree to which you will have symptoms of depression and the degree to which they will affect your everyday functioning. The extent to which you allow yourself to worry about the future, what's going to happen, will dictate the degree to which you're experiencing anxiety. The foods you eat and the thoughts that you think can have and do have a major impact on the degree to which you'll be experiencing depression and or anxiety. When you eat in a way that allows your blood sugar to stay within the proper range consistently, I don't mean perfectly, but consistently, that will affect your hormones and the balance of your hormones, which in turn will affect your emotions. So by eating nutritious foods and eating within an hour of getting up, and every 3 hours if you do not have any blood sugar disorders, and every 2 hours if you do have diabetes and or hypoglycemia, and you do not have to eat large meals, will go a long way in helping you to manage and or prevent symptoms of depression and or anxiety. We're going to go to commercial break now, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce my first guest.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life-Changing Insights. Life-Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life-Changing Insights, go to Life-Changing Insights with DrAlanSimberg.com. Life-Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life-Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. My first guest today is June Stozel. June is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she trained at the University of California Medical Center in their Human Sexuality Clinic. She is also an author, and her book is titled Here We Go Again. And now let's learn more about June. Hello, June, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I loved what you said about organic and healthy foods.
I'm glad you appreciated that. As a way of helping the listening audience to have a sense of who you are and what you do, I'm going to start by asking you to tell us about where you grew up and how your earlier years and life experiences have contributed to what you're doing today.
Okay. I was born in New York, and I can still remember riding on the trolley cars, looking at people and staring at them and wanting to hear everybody's conversation. When I was 5 and a half or 6, we moved to Wisconsin, and a few years later, I went to a school where I was the only Jewish kid in the school and was bullied really badly. Later, I became an art major. I love thinking outside the box, and I love art and the creativity, and I always was interested in psychology. And on the last day of, I decided to change my major after having one bachelor's, got a second bachelor's, and then I changed my major to psychology. And the last day of graduation, a friend of mine said, I just got a new internship. I said, where? And she said, UC Medical Center in their Human Sexuality Department. And I was, oh, my God, I've got to do this. And they let me in and trained me. And it was really funny because when I was 10 years old, I found a book in a dumpster. Then we used to call them dumpsters, but they were recycling things. And it was Dr. Hall's Encyclopedia of Sexual Knowledge. I was 10 years old. I read it from cover to cover and hid it from my mother and dad. And all I could think of is, how do you know anyone well enough to do this? It didn't shock me for some reason. It was like, whoa. So when I was, I used to listen to my mother and her friends talk on the porch, kind of in code. They didn't know what I knew. So that was really interesting. Anyway, when I became a sex therapist, I realized very soon it wasn't about sex so much. People that we saw in the clinic were screened out for any organic or medical reasons. And the more they talked, the more I realized it was all about underlying issues like trust, guilt, intimacy, freedom, abandonment. And once we hit those issues and talked about them and maybe did some process letters and worksheets, the sex life improved. So it was really startling to me that those issues, everybody has them. And on a scale of 1 to 10, if they're pretty severe, those issues come up when you drop a spoon on the floor. Suddenly, if your life is not in control, you swear your head off. And it's really not about the spoon. It's about a symbol, a metaphoric symbol of life being out of control. So it's very interesting.
You know, I completely agree with what you're saying, how, in a sense, and, you know, use the word symbol, how the sexual challenges that people will present is really more of a symbol of underlying unresolved conflict. How do you address those? Like, you know, I'm sure that a lot, if not most of the people that come to you, well, I'm going to change what I was going to say a little bit. I was going to say they probably feel very uncomfortable, but, you know, some people feel more uncomfortable than others, but basically, how do you start out with people in terms of helping them to feel at ease and also to understand your perspective on their situation?
Okay, well, first of all, I had to figure out who I am and what matters to me. And the bullying I received for prejudice was invalidation. So for me, invalidation is my strongest issue. I have other issues, you know, I don't like my life to be out of control, but that invalidation issue is immense. So I have to, when I realize that I'm getting invalidated, I go to myself and I go, what issue am I dealing with? Oh, yeah, it's that one. And then I take a choice. So I wrote up worksheets for people. I start with people by saying feelings are a primary process. Freud said feelings don't grow up, they're primary process, and secondary process is logic. So I made coping skills to fit with both, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how intense are you feeling? And then I named the major, the seven major issues to talk about. And they'd start to see that it made sense and that there was a choice. It's pretty much based on cognitive behavioral therapy. Once you don't feel crazy and you can make a choice and you don't feel so out of control and weird, life makes sense and you make the choice. It's different. It's completely like being in charge and not being as frightened. So most people were receptive, and you have to pay people in their currency, so to speak. So as a therapist, for me, going through that bullying was the most wonderful experience in terms of how it feels to be a minority. I would have never known had I not been there. So, you know, you take your own life experiences and you try to connect with people in a real and human way, not forgetting your professionalism and your ethics, but being more human. It makes them more at ease.
So, you know, basically what I'm hearing you saying is that we can use our life experiences to help ourselves and, of course, in varying degrees and different ways, helping others, or we can let it defeat us. And what you did was you basically decided that you were not going to be a victim. in a sense, you were going to be a survivor, and you were going to use your life experiences to be able to help others.
That, because that's my greatest joy, is to, I'm a facilitator. A friend of mine from India said, detach, because I used to cry on my way home from being trained. I thought, oh, I should have said this, or what if they do that? And he said, you need to be detached. And I said, oh, detachment, how terrible. He said, no. Do your best and let go. You're the facilitator. They are the therapist. They're the ones that do their therapy. And that's really true. You know. The other thing is, what?
Go ahead. No, I thought you were going to stop there. Go ahead. I'll catch up when you're done.
So what I was going to say is that whether you're religious or spiritual or not, the sentence of why did the universe or why did God, whatever you want to say, send me this thing? Like, why did I get all this bullying? It was the most helpful thing I can think of in my work. It really was. So sometimes the worst stuff that comes to you, and I don't mean like really worst. I mean, you know, just stuff that comes to you and you think, why is this happening to me? Sometimes you have to say, what am I supposed to learn? You know, what can I learn from this? And that's an interesting way of looking at it. Sometimes if you're your own scientist, you know, observing your own life, you get answers that are unbelievable.
So really part of what you're saying is you can use something to contribute to your growth, or you can use something that keeps you stuck or in a corner.
Yeah. In other words, you can make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I hope I don't offend anyone by this, but most of my clients when I was sex therapy, were men. Men seem to like to talk to women more about any deficiency they have than another man, okay? So I just mostly saw men. And with erectile dysfunction, they had performed beautifully before, like an event of some sort, like breaking up with a partner. And I used to have them write, one of the exercises I did is write a letter from your penis to yourself. And some of the letters were hysterical, but they all said the same thing. It was, hey, why are you sticking me in all these places when I don't even know this person? I don't have any feelings for her. And it was, you know, certainly not the young men that felt this, but people that had been in relationships and felt the loss and had not dealt with the loss. And, you know, the sex had no connection. It was just sex, and it didn't work for a lot of the people.
Mm-hmm. Now, that brings me to my next question. A few minutes ago, you mentioned the idea of detachment. Some people look at detachment as meaning not caring.
Yeah.
What is your understanding of what detachment means?
My understanding was I care a lot. But my understanding when my friend from India told me was that detach from the fact that you're the therapist and you're supposed to cure the person. Just do your best and they make their decisions. In other words, I cannot make anyone heal. I cannot make anyone listen to me, or, you know, I have to just do what I can do the best, and they're the ones that have to pick up on it. And that gives them more power. It's not like I'm your healer, you better know me the rest of your life. It's they start to get their own power. That's what I mean by detachment.
Okay. Now, next thing I'd like to talk with you about is your book, Here We Go Again.
Uh-huh.
I think it would be helpful if you would just let the listening audience know what your book is about and maybe a little bit about what's inside the book.
The book is about, first of all, I wrote it in the most unusual way any self-help book I ever read was written. I wrote it using my own life, using how I got trained at UC Medical Center, doing some case studies. I talk about communication, different types of communication, assertive, aggressive, passive, passive-aggressive, perception, defenses, unconscious contracts people have with people, codependency, and every possible thing about sex that I could think of in terms of the orgasm cycle for men and for women, and some really beautiful quotes from other books about sex, how sex is the collapse of the boundaries, and when you leave, you take something with you from the other person.
I just want to see if I'm understanding what you're saying. Are you saying that part of the book, and obviously it might be a weaving of all these things, is part is information about your life, and then also how to deal with specific situations that people encounter?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No. Okay, then please.
The book is a psychology book. I talk about child rearing and how, remember Eric Erickson's 8 Stages of Man? Where you get your certain issues, like the first basic issue you get is trust versus mistrust. I cry, does somebody come, am I helped? If that happens, you're not going to have as big of a trust issue unless something happens later on that, in your childhood. But trust and the other things he talks about, I know them all, I don't want to list them right now. But I talk about psychology, and then if there's an experience I've had, and there's just few of them, very few of them. One of them is perception. Like if you were wearing red sunglasses and I was wearing yellow glasses and a scientist came in the room and took notes, well, okay, what do you see, June? Well, I see this. What do you see, Alan? And you'd see something else, and we'd both be correct. We're just looking through our own experiences and our own life, and that gives us our perception, pretty much.
So the impression that I'm getting from what you're saying is that the book, in a certain sense, I know you didn't use this word, in a certain sense, it kind of normalizes life. You know, you talk about, you give some information, and then you talk about it from your point of view, your experience, maybe given different alternatives of the way people could think about things?
No, it's not about me. It's not a biography. It's about when I can use it as an example, I'll use it as an example.
Yeah, your life. Experiences from your life you use as an example.
And I've used the ones that are humorous, pretty much.
Yes.
And can I say one of them or not?
Sure.
Oh, when I was 9 years old, we lived in a boarding house, and my mother and father never entertained. And one day I saw that my mother bought chips and dip, and I thought, oh, my God, we're going to have a party, and other children will be here. And I was so excited. And at that point, she said, June, will you run to the drugstore and get me a box of Modest sanitary napkins? And I'm walking to the store, and my mother had the seasons into fall, winter, spring, and polio. Everything was about germs and disease, and cleanliness. So I'm thinking, how can they sell unsanitary napkins? I go in. The druggist says, can I help you, little girl? I said, yes, I'd like a box of Modest sanitary party napkins. And he laughed. And I'm bringing the box home, and I open it up, and I try to blow my nose in it. Didn't work. Tried to wipe my face. Didn't work. And I said to my mother, these will never work. And she didn't put them out next to the potato chips. And I thought, oh, my God, she thinks I'm smart. She listened to me.
Oh, boy. That's a great example.
So my perceptions were it had to do with sanitation.
Yeah. Well, we've come to the end of the interview. But before we end, I want to give you the opportunity to make any comments or let the listening audience know any other thing you'd like them to know, and also to please give your contact information.
I have an email address, and it's junestozel, STOELZEL, @att.net. But I haven't done the website yet. But anyway, my book is easy to read. I've used humor. I drew some cartoons. It's really accurate psychological stuff, and very easy to understand, everyday stuff. And it's so effective. I mean, I've used it. I use it myself. I'll go, okay, June, you're feeling really angry and upset during road rage. I did a whole thing on road rage in there. And you can use your humor, too. You know, what are your choices? You know, what are you feeling? How strong is it? And what are your choices? And what are the consequences of your choices? And it's really interesting. I raise my kids like that, too.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I want to thank you for being a guest today. And I hope you have a great day and a wonderful week.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Now, we're going to go to commercial break. And before we do, I just want to remind everyone that this previous segment of the show has been brought to you by Standard Process, the creators of whole food supplements. We're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce my next guest.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. My second guest today is Jay Dinella. Jay has been a corporate business consultant for over 30 years. His passion for healthcare is reflected in his Medicine at Work program, which provides complete episodic and diagnostic care right at employees' workplaces for all non-emergency healthcare needs. Board-certified physicians provide live patient physician visits through video links and happen as both scheduled and walk-in visits. A licensed paramedic is on site for you for up to 40 hours per week as a certified wellness and nutrition counselor. And now let's learn more about Jay and what he does. Hello, Jay, and welcome to the show.
Well, hello there. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Okay, it's my pleasure. As a way of helping the listening audience to have a sense of who you are and what you do, I'm going to start by asking you to tell us about where you grew up and how your earlier life and earlier years have contributed to what you're doing today.
Interesting. I grew up in Virginia, in the mountains of Virginia. It was very much in the middle of nowhere when I was a kid, but now it's right outside of where Dulles Airport is. I was heavy into survival camping and Boy Scouts, and I think that probably had a lot to do with me wanting to get into medicine. And when My dad shipped the family down here when I was in high school. I decided I wanted to go to Baylor to be a doctor, and unfortunately I was paying my own way at Baylor, so didn't make it the whole ride on pre-med, so I switched majors to health insurance and decided I would help people with their health by finding ways to pay for their health as opposed to actually providing the service myself. So that's kind of my background, but I've always been extremely interested in helping people, especially as it relates to their health.
You know, I have to say, when I was reading about your background and what you do, that's the first time I've ever heard about this type of service. Are you the only one doing this, or have other people been doing this and you kind of learned a little bit from them and then just added your own twist to it?
Well, actually, it is not my company. I run the Medicine at Work division, the sales department for the Medicine at Work division of our parent company called New Physicia. New Physicia was actually founded by three physicians that came out of the University of Texas down in Galveston, UTMB, who had created the telemedicine program for the state of Texas prison system. And that was so successful that they decided to spin off New Physicia in 2007 and create a telemedicine company. They have been primarily doing telemedicine for like drilling rigs and remote locations up until recently. They hired me a couple months ago to revitalize the Medicine at Work program, I guess, and start bringing it to corporations because of my corporate consulting background.
Okay. And what basically have you been doing so far, and what are some of your other ideas of what you can do to revitalize the program?
Well, it's very exciting. Right now, telemedicine is probably one of the hottest topics for employee benefit programs that I'm seeing as a consultant. Like you mentioned already, I have been a consultant for over 30 years, and I guess because a lot of what is going on in healthcare these days is limiting the availability of physicians and increasing the need for physicians, there is a shortage. And telemedicine is trying to lessen that gap by bringing the patients together with the physicians without having to physically put them together. And our model really is unique in the country because we actually have the feet on the ground with the paramedics. We have all of the high definition, high technology scopes and diagnostic equipment on site. And between the paramedic and the equipment, those are tied together through the internet utilizing telemedicine to a physician network. So it is 90 to 95% equivalent to having an actual physician's office on premises without having to pay for the physician to be there all the time. So it's much more cost effective for, you know, smaller size employer groups. You know, the larger groups have had on-site clinics for years.
Well, you know, it sure sounds like a great idea and something that's really needed. Now, as part of your activities, do you just identify places where people can go and let them know about the service, or do you actually go and give talks at the different businesses?
A little bit of everything. You know, my responsibility has been to really do whatever it takes to get the word out and make employers know about these kind of services. You know, like I said, most employers think that having on-site healthcare is only for the very large, you know, mega companies. But our service actually is very cost-effective because of how we structure it. I mean, it makes sense. The break-even return on investment is down at about 200 employees per location, which is very small compared to what traditionally has been the on-site clinic model.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about challenges that you might encounter, like the different arguments people might give you, or like the hesitations, yeah. Like, for example, they might say, hey, Jay, you know, sounds like a great idea. I'll get back to you. I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about, you know, the kinds of challenges that you face and basically how you manage them.
Well, sure. You know, the challenge that you just mentioned is just sales 101. You know, that's a common challenge no matter what you're selling. But in our industry, the telemedicine industry right now, I think my biggest challenge is the lack of education of what exactly is the difference between some of the different programs that are being called telemedicine. You know, right now, our model, like I said, is the only one that actually has feet on the ground, the diagnostic equipment, you know, almost identical to having a physician's office. There are so many newcomers entering the telemedicine market right now. That is my biggest challenge, because a lot of companies and a lot of people are hearing, you know, oh, yeah, my employer is offering this new benefit where I can pick up my cell phone and call a doctor and talk to them. And no doctor can, well, legally, actually, in Texas especially, diagnose and or prescribe medications just over the telephone. They, you know, right now the Texas Medical Board, the American Federation of Medical Boards, the American Medical Association, they are all releasing guidelines that require that a person has to, at a minimum, you know, have the video linkage. But there's my biggest challenge, I guess, is letting people know that there's such a huge difference. I mean, even the video link type telemedicine providers, they can only diagnose and prescribe meds for maybe 30 different conditions. We actually ran a report that since the inception of our company, we've had over 1 million different encounters with patients and over 19,000 different service codes, you know, diagnostic codes. So there is really nothing that we can't do that would be different than a primary care physician's office, unlike the call-in or the Skype-type technology. So, you know, to answer your question, the biggest challenge is the education part.
Okay, and, you know, that makes a lot of sense, because whenever any kind of change is introduced, kind of the usual human reaction is sort of like a hiccup. You know, wait. What are you talking about? Why should I do this?
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, the telephonic and the video, you know, the Skype kind of technology is almost, it's kind of a feel-good technology, because a employee can pick up the phone and talk to someone, but it's kind of like a nurse hotline. It doesn't do much better than, you know, just having someone hold your hand, whereas our model, you're actually being diagnosed. You have the equipment there. He's looking down your throat. He's looking in your ears, you know, whatever it might take, and being able to accurately diagnose and then prescribe, if necessary, any kind of treatment. You know, none of the other models are doing that. And like I said, telemedicine is becoming such a hot issue. There's becoming many, many more players into this environment all the time, and I'm seeing them constantly. So I'm having to educate the employers. I am speaking to different groups. Like, you know, I've been in Rotary for 27 years, so I speak to different Rotary clubs. I'm lucky enough to be speaking to you. I mean, I'm kind of wherever I get a platform, I'm speaking to people to try to educate them. You know, I'm very heavily involved on LinkedIn. I put out a lot of articles on LinkedIn about the differences, and you know, it's just, having been a consultant for over 30 years, I'm very, very passionate about quality healthcare, and you can't provide quality healthcare just by picking up the phone and talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously one of the most important things that you are doing is you're educating people. I think people are more likely to see the value in something if they can understand it, as opposed to just being told, well, that's a really good idea. It's the way of the future. You should do it. Get on so that you could be ahead of other people. They need to know why. What's it going to do for mm-hmm. me? What's it all about?
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, from the employer's perspective, there's a couple primary benefits to it. You know, number one, it's very cost effective. It doesn't cost very much. The break even point, like I said, is about 200 employees. But, you know, we've been showing that we can save several hundred thousand dollars for every like 500 employees in the group. So it's very, very cost effective. It can save the employers a lot of money. But in addition to that, a lot of employers these days are putting in high deductible health care plans, health savings accounts, you know, things that unfortunately, they save the employer a lot of money, but there's a disincentive for the employees to then actually go see the doctor because they don't want to spend their own money. Even if the employer is funding a savings account, the employee that continues to view that savings account as, you know, their bank account, and they only want to use it for catastrophic type events. So if they have a sinus infection or a bad allergy or, you know, bad pains in the stomach or whatever it might be, you know, they're less inclined to actually call up a doctor's office and go see a doctor because they don't want to spend that money out of their deductible. This plan, there's no cost to actually walk down the hall and see the doctor. So it benefits the employer because the employees don't have to take time away from the office. They can treat the minor issues before they escalate into becoming major issues. You know, there's just so many positives about this model. That's why I kind of fell in love with it 3 months ago when I joined the company.
Let's connect the dot here. And you may have already, I might have missed it, I don't know, but I just want to make sure, and especially I want to make sure the listening audience gets this. Okay, let's say someone is working for a company, mm-hmm. and your service is provided.
Right.
Would they get the service paid for by their health care plan, or would it be an out-of-pocket expense to the employee?
It is paid for by the employer. It's not there's no insurance filings or anything else, so there's no co-pays. You know, there is, if anything, there's a very positive incentive to use it as frequently as they need to, because it's in the best interest of the employer for them to take care of the small stuff. All the employer has to do is basically provide office space. We do all of the furnishings, the examination table, all of the diagnostic equipment. We do the hiring of the paramedics. We do the contracting for the paramedics and the reviews and contracting of the physicians. So, you know, there's no liability, no extra work at all for the employer. The employer just pays a per employee per month fee, you know, whatever it might be, depending on the size of the group. And the employee can just walk down the hall and see the doctor whenever they need to.
So then from what you're saying, it's a win-win for everybody.
It really is. And that's why I'm so excited to be a part of this company. You know, the founders of this company are still with the company. They're very devoted to the company, which I think is a great indication of, you know, their commitment to making this work. It's been extremely successful in the other divisions of New Physicia. I just feel kind of, I guess, honored to be chosen to be the guy that's going to be taking this division, you know, to the streets, so to speak.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was about ready to say, you know, one of the additional things that I've been coming across while I'm out talking to people, when I said taking it to the streets, you know, when I talk to people, sometimes I get the comments, God, I wish our employer offered this, but you know, we only have 50 people in our office building or something. But, you know, they may be in a tower with 50 other employers. So one of the things we're kicking around, I guess, and trying to see if we can get some traction on is also perhaps having clinics in office towers that, you know, maybe that it may be a collection of smaller employers, but, you know, not one 200-person group necessarily. So, you know, the interest is growing so greatly. I mean, that's really one of the reasons why I'm so excited, because not only are the larger employers interested in the concept, but even the smaller ones that, you know, are in areas where there may be a number of different employer groups that might go in together on a clinic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, really the comment that I was saying, what I was about to say, was that, you know, you're talking about low cost or decreased cost and a great service that really, in the long run, saves a tremendous amount of money.
It really does. And we are committed to quality. I mean, we are only using board-certified physicians out of the Texas Medical Center. We're very proud of the reputation that we have established up to this point. And if I have anything to do with it, because my entire career has always been about, you know, emphasizing quality of care and quality of service, I'm very proud of the direction we're moving and what we're able to do for our employer groups.
And, you know, from everything that you've said, you certainly have reason to feel that way. We've come to the end of the interview, but before we end, I want to give you the opportunity to give any last information that you would like the listening audience to have, and also your contact information.
Sure. You know, whether you are a decision maker at an employer group or not, or just an employee that would be interested in seeing how it might work, our website, the easiest website address to remember is just medicineatwork.net. I could give you our parent company's name, but that would just confuse the issue. Medicineatwork.net is very descriptive of what we do, because we're bringing clinics to the workspace. My name is Jay Danella. I would be happy to answer any kind of questions either through the website or my email. Well, if you go through the website, you can get all of my other contact information, but it's Jay Danella at Medicine at Work. And I would love to help anybody I could.
Well, that's really great, Jay, and I really want to thank you for being a guest on today's show. And I really do hope you have a great day and a wonderful week.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Yes. Well, we're going to go to commercial break now, and when we come back, I'm going to give my life-changing insight tip of the week.
As a practical, interactive, solution-focused therapist, Dr. Alan Simberg's treatment approach is to provide support and practical feedback to help clients resolve current challenges and long-standing patterns. With sensitivity and compassion, Dr. Simberg helps clients find solutions to a wide range of life challenges and psychological issues. Dr. Simberg specializes in a number of areas, including addiction and recovery solutions, family, parenting, and relationship issues, depression and anxiety, spiritual counseling, and more. Blending conventional and complementary approaches, Dr. Simberg draws on a variety of styles and techniques to incorporate what will be most helpful for each client. Find out more information or contact Dr. Alan at alansimberg.com. Let Dr. Alan Simberg help to enhance your life through effective therapies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Life Changing Insights. This is your host, Dr. Alan Simberg, and I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. Before ending today's show, I want to give you my Life Changing Insight tip of the week. In the past few weeks, I've talked about heavy metal toxicity, chemical toxicity, detoxification. Today I'm going to speak with you about poor digestion and food sensitivities, a little bit about possible factors that cause them or contribute to them happening, and what you can do to correct them. Poor digestion tends to be related to not having enough digestive enzymes. Now, an interesting idea for people to know about is that the source or a primary source of digestive enzymes, nope, it's not a pill. It's vegetables. Living food is a primary source of digestive enzymes. I'm not talking about vegetables that you get out of a can. Chances of you getting any reasonable amount of digestive enzymes from canned vegetables is very small. The rule of thumb is fresh is best, frozen is the next best, and canned, if you really need to, will get them. Now, an alternative to canned vegetables could be salads, because things like lettuce, meaning romaine lettuce or green leaf lettuce or red leaf lettuce, those are good sources of enzymes. Carrots, cucumber, radishes, kale, broccoli, the list goes on and on and on and on. We tend to not have enough digestive enzymes as we get older. My belief is one of the primary reasons for that is because of the way we eat. Another problem, which we really have very little control over, is the way vegetables are raised today compared to the way they used to be raised. But eating fresh vegetables, and if you cook them for approximately 2 or 3 minutes, and I always recommend steaming as opposed to any other method, a quick stir fry is okay, but you don't want to stir fry vegetables for too long. You don't want to subject them to high heat for an extended period of time. That will help you with your digestion. Now, food sensitivities can occur for a couple of reasons. At least the two that I'm most aware of are that you eat the same thing over and over and over and over, and you don't have a lot of variety in your life. That can contribute to food sensitivities. Both poor digestion and food sensitivities can also be caused by eating low-quality food. And also, if you do have heavy metal toxicity or chemical toxicity, and if the gut lining in your intestine becomes compromised, which means decreased, that can contribute to your developing food sensitivities. So again, one of the simplest and easiest ways to help to improve your digestion and to protect yourself against developing food sensitivities or helping yourself to get past any food sensitivities you have is to eat high quality foods and to include a very reasonable amount of vegetables and salads. And one last tip is Bragg's apple cider vinegar. That's Bragg's apple cider vinegar. That can help tremendously to improve your digestion and to help you to have really good health, because another one of the benefits is it can help with constipation. I'd like to thank you all for listening to today's show. I want to invite you back next week, next Tuesday between 3 and 4 o'clock, Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg. I hope you all have a great day and a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us on Life-Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.